Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Tanisha, and if you're a fan of Wine School Dropout, there's another podcast we think you'll love, Pretend. Pretend is a documentary-style podcast about real people pretending to be someone else. Javier interviews real con artists, snake oil salesmen, and former cult members, anyone living a lie. Notable interviews and episodes include an identity thief who confesses to stealing thousands of identities, a former FBI undercover agent who describes how he embedded himself into a drug lord's inner circle, and the testimony of a snake oil salesman who encourages people to drink a bleach-type substance to cure everything from depression to cancer. Search for Pretend wherever you get your podcasts. This is Wine School Dropout, Study Abroad, Southern Italy. I'm Tanisha Townsend, your host. This season, we're going abroad to Italy, Southern Italy to be precise. Think of this season as a semester abroad in Puglia, Italy. We will introduce you to the grapes, producers, foods, sights, and sounds of this region. We're taking you right there with us to introduce you to some wines and wineries and present this region. Welcome to Season 3 of Wine School Dropout, Semester Abroad, Puglia, Italy. As a part of the trip with Radici del Sud to Italy, I had the pleasure of visiting Pietra Ventosa Winery. I always learn so much talking to winemakers and drinking wines from other regions. Within 5 minutes of hearing Mariana speak about her wines, the landscape, and her region of Gioia del Colle, I knew I had to talk to her more. Mariana was interesting, funny, lively, and her wines made from the Primitivo and Negro Amaro grapes, simply stunning. In this talk, Mariana shares her passion for winemaking and the history of the wines in Gioia del Colle. She also mentions a famous Hollywood someone that we all know that has a connection to her region. Listen closely to find out who it is. Hello, Mariana. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hello, Tanisha. Hello, people.
So Mariana is here to talk to us about her winery that she works with and works at, and about a grape that's very special to Southern Italy. First, let's introduce you. Tell me who you are and what you do.
Okay, my name is Mariana Agno. I come from Italy, Puglia. Puglia is the hill of the boot. Do you know, Italy is like a boot. So we are the hill of the boot. And Puglia is very nice region of Italy because we have two sea, Adriatic Sea and Ionian Sea, that are in the north part and in the south part of Puglia. This gives to our region a very nice attraction for tourism, but also for agricultural matters. We have lots of vineyards, but also different kind of cultivation, has olive oil, tomatoes, but wine is the principal argument today. Consider that in Puglia, we have 10,700 hectares of vineyard in total. In my particular part in Murgia, that is the land in which we are, in the middle part of Puglia, we have only 1,400 hectares of vineyard. So 10,000 against 1,000 is a very, very strict quantity considering the total amount. This is because our territory, Murgia, is very hard. We have lots of rock underground, limestone rock underground. And this rock that is underground sometimes go up on surface. And so it's difficult to make every kind of agricultural cultivation. Mm-hmm. For this reason, the most important thing that we have is the handling with cow to have milk. In fact, there are a lot of cheese factories that produce mozzarella. In fact, Gioia del Colle, the town from which I come and in which I have my vineyard, is famous also for mozzarella production. We have the DOP certification for mozzarella, for our mozzarella, but also we have the DOP certification for our wine. Consider that Primitivo is a type of grape that arrived from the other part of Adriatic Sea, but this is a task that we will talk about later. My name is Mariana, I'm 20, no, not 20. Oh, God. 52 years old.
No, 25, it's fine. It's fine. 25.
My winery is called the Pietra Ventosa, and the translation is something like windy rock, because we have lot of limestone rock underground, and together with the winds, lot of wind that come from the north part and the south. So Tramontana, Mistral, and Scirocco. So this wine go through our vineyard, refreshing the leaves and avoid the formation of mold and fungi attack. We established this winery not so far in the time. We start to think about in 2000, when I was pregnant of my son Vincenzo. My husband and I had different kind of job. My husband is an engineer that designed winemaker machine. And I work for a sofa factory. So very, very boring. And so my husband and I decided to start with this adventure. We bought land. We take off an orchard because it was a little bit sick. It was abandoned by the previous owner because they were getting to divorce. And this particular land was fighted by them. Everyone would like to have. And so in the last time, they decided to sell it and divide the money. But the orchard tree, it was very, very abandoned. And so we cut off every tree, plant vegetables in order to give nutrition to the soil. And after a couple of years, we start to plant our first hectare of vineyard. And in 2005, we produced our first bottle.
Did you have any experience or anything making wine before? Or you just woke up and said, you know, we're going to buy this land, plant grapes, and do all of the things?
My husband, I say that my husband is an engineer. And
yes.
He project, he designed winemaker machine. To make these, because they are not static machine, they are dynamic machine that help people in winery with fermentation, stabilization, pressing, all the little things that are forming vinification, you have to study a lot. According to the agronomical skills, we have a tradition in our family, because the grandfather was a very great soil owner in the south of Puglia, and he had lots of different kind of cultivation. He had tobacco, tomatoes, vineyard, olive oil. And this kind of skills were passed in my husband's family. So we had something. We have also an agronomic help by our friends that helped us to handle with the vineyard in the best way. And both in cellar, we have our friend Oronzolo, that is an enologist, that give us assistance in vinification procedures. So we learn a lot, because we made a lot of mistakes in the first time. But day by day, step by step, we acquire a knowledge that now we could say is good, but it's not too late to learn more. Every year we learn more, considering also the fact that with the climate modification, it's very difficult now to handle with vineyard, because we don't have this intermediate season. We pass directly from winter to summer and then to winter too. And it's difficult for the plants to understand this, because they have some steps that have to follow. And every year is more difficult than before, in consideration of change in climate.
I'm still thinking about how you are going through this process. Like, so you had a member of your family who was doing this before, so you were able to get some advice from them. Was there ever a time in the beginning or the middle of you just developing this idea that you were like, oh, this is harder than I thought. I don't think I want to do it.
Yes. Yes. Sometimes I say to my husband, oh, we could make both. And so we can stay every time on holidays.
Yes.
No, it's hard, but we have a lot of satisfaction too. You have an emotion every time you have to see your vineyard that grow up strong and with a lot of grapes, healthy grapes. Yesterday I was there. And we have the little grapes that are now are not ready, obsolete, but they stay there. And the sun and the sky, the birds, all the things that you think, you seem in the same dimension. You are inside the vineyard. You breathe the vineyard. You heat the vineyard. You are inside. It's something that go inside in your heart. And these help you also in low times. And you say, okay, we can go on and we can go better.
All right. I like that. And you speak with such passion about what you do and your vineyard. Tell me more about Pietro Ventosa. You've mentioned your passion for it, but what makes it so special to you?
Well, we start with the aim to produce wine that in the first time have to be good for us. And so when you make something for yourself, you make it better, because you would like to have the more height satisfaction in your product. And considering also that my husband, I have already said that he's an engineer, So he has a goal. And if his goal is to have quality wine that have the same quality every year with changement due to the different kind of vintage, obviously. We don't want to make a wine that is like an Oreo biscuit, because Oreo biscuit is the same every time you taste it. When you were a little girl or when you will be an aged woman, the Oreo biscuit have the same taste.
Still the same. Time. Still the same.
And so there are also some wines that have this kind of characteristics. They are the same every year you taste it. We would like to make wine that is every year different according to the different vintage, but that have to have the same quality. And so we work hard for this. We start with red grapes, Primitivo, but now we are planting also white grape as Malvasia and Miluntolo, because we would like to make also white wine that are good for our territory. We skip different vintages also for the problems due to the climate situation, but the first time was also due to our problems, our mistakes. So we learn remembering our mistake, and every year we are growing up better.
You mentioned Privitivo as one of the grapes that you use for your red wines, and then also a major grape of the Puglia region. Is that due to the soil? Because you mentioned before limestone, and then also the climate being warm. Why is Primitivo the major grape in this region?
This is a very interesting question. Consider that Primitivo is produced all over Puglia territory, but it changed according to the different kinds of soil and also different altitude, also how many kilometers is far from the sea. We are in the middle of Puglia, 40 kilometers from Adriatic Sea and 40 from the Ionian Sea. We are not so far from the sea, but we are far to avoid the mitigation of the sea during the maturation of grape. For example, another territory very, very, very famous, more famous of Gioia del Colle territory, is the territory of Manduria, that is in the southern part of Puglia. Well, they have their vineyard about 20 kilometers or less from the sea. The climate there is similar to Gioia del Colle climate, because in Gioia del Colle, we have excursion during the day and night. We have 40 degrees during the day and 20 during the night. So for this reason, the grapes has a very low time of maturation. And for this reason, don't have lots of sugar inside, don't have the same characteristic that Primitivo in Manduria territory has, because they are close to the sea. And during the day and night, there are not lots of different of temperature, and the grapes mature more quickly. In fact, they harvest during the month of August. We harvest during the month of September. There is also another kind of Primitivo in the Salento, in the southern part of Puglia, that is different between the one that comes from Manduria, the one that comes from the Gioia del Colle. The DNA is the same, but the biotype is different. The biotype is different because it changed according to the terroir in which the Primitivo is planted. Primitivo, you have to know that don't come directly from Puglia. The origin comes from the Dalmatian, the Illyri. In the 16th century, there were some discovering also in Germany, Hungary, and Austria. It was called Tribidag. And in Dalmatia, especially, the name Tribidag changed in Krienlach Castellanski, that is a little town in Dalmatia. And there we can state the origin of Primitivo. After the Krienlach Castellanski was blended with the Braubicic that come from the southern Dalmatia, and the name was Plavac Mali. In the past, a lot of experts identify Primitivo with Plavac Malic, but is a cross with Krienlach Castellanski and Dobricic. So you can consider another thing for Primitivo. Primitivo is a grape that well stay in a different kind of territory, especially sunny areas. So the southern part of the northern hemisphere. So it has in all the southern Italy, also in Campania, also in Basilicata, different expression. The DNA is the same, but the biotype is different according to the different kind of terroir.
It's not a secret that France loves cheese and wine, so not surprising that an entire culture revolves around the consumption of these two great gifts to the culinary world. Come and discover one of the best parts of French culture with the cheese and wine class or a wine tasting class. Join my classes. They're a great opportunity to experience the French terroir. During these two-hour classes, you'll sample some of the finest cheeses and finest wines, learn the techniques and language of cheese tasting and wine tasting, and also the concept of terroir. You'll spend a great evening in a relaxed atmosphere with beautiful surroundings in the heart of Montmartre with me at Cooking with Class Cooking School, and get a great head start to fully understand and appreciate our love for French cheese and wine and help you approach them with greater confidence. Visit cookingwithclass.com, CookingWithClass, and search Paris Classes for more information or to book your date.
And you have also in USA the Primitivo that is called Zinfandel.
I was going to ask that was Primitivo, because I think I'd heard or read before in my studies that Primitivo and Zinfandel were the same.
Yes, yes. The DNA is the same, is the same. Meredith, Carol Meredith from University of California, of Davis.
Davis, okay. You
should, analyze DNA and state that the DNA is the same. Some research made in the past say to us that some rooted cuttings were bring by monks from Austrian Empire to New York nursery in Long Island. George Gibbs was the first one that handled with the Primitivo grapes, and probably because something was lost in translation, these root and cuttings were called Zinfandel too. Black Zinfandel from Hungary, because it comes from the Hungarian Empire. And so the name Zinfandel remained in the same way, because Silvaner is one of the most important white grape that come from Austria. And because this Primitivo root cutting comes from that territory, the name Silvaner was lost in translation and become Zinfandel. And so they called black Zinfandel from Hungary the Primitivo root cutting. They come from that territory. After George Gibbs bring them, start to cultivate them in the East Coast. But after, because a lot of people go to the Western Coast for the gold rush, this kind of grape go to California. And in this case, it become the most important, one of the most important grape that are there.
I'm glad you mentioned that with the gold rush, how that moved over, because I was wondering how the cuttings came from Eastern Europe over to the U.S. Was that something that happened like during, say, phylloxera maybe?
I think yes, because some grapes come from France, as yeah. Merlot, Cabernet, they come from France. Probably people used to bring with them a different kind of agricultural plants, some plants to integrate the local cultivation with the native cultivation too. We know that potato, tomato, and corn come from America to Europe. And so, because, for example, during the past, emperor and kings showed to their guests the strange things that come from the New World, has something to show. And I think that probably there is a crossing of this. And people that come from Europe to go to USA or New World bring with them some kind of plants. There is also a legend in Gioia del Colle. People say that the grandfather of the actor Sylvester Stallone.
Yes, please tell this story, because I want people to hear this, because I was going to ask you about the famous connection in America to Gioia del Colle. Please tell us this. Yes.
Okay. The actor Sylvester Stallone has his grandfather and grandmother that come from Gioia del Colle. They arrive in California, and the legend is that they bring with them some grapes of some root cutting of Primitivo and planted them. And in this case, the Zinfandel exploited in California territory, but it's only a legend.
We like that legend, though. So you have a connection to Sylvester Stallone, Rocky, Rambo. Wow.
No, I understand that it was come from Gioia del Colle when I was very young, because I read the poster of his film. This man come from Gioia del Colle, but I don't know. Which are the parents? I don't know.
I want to get back to Primitivo just a bit and talk about the wine itself. So when it comes to Primitivo, is that a grape that makes a wine that can age, or is it something you should drink fairly young?
In the past, people think that Primitivo has not a long life. Consider that Primitivo has not a tannic structure very hard, and consider that tannins normally were well known as the one that give to wine the possibility to be aged. In consequence, Primitivo was not considered a wine that had to be aged. It's not Aglianico, for example, that has lot of tannins. Primitivo has not lot of tannins. But in our territory, because we have this kind of soil, not rich, very, very hard for a vineyard. And because of our climate that is very, with lot of excursion, our wines are very rich of acidity. And acidity help the less part of tannins that are inside Primitivo to have a long life. We use also French oak to age the wine. And so tannins that come from oak go inside the wine and give to the wine more life. But I can say, considering my experience, because we don't take to forget that we start not far than 20 years ago. And so we don't take lots of examples of our wine in the past. We can go not more than 2006 because we don't have something to make a pairing. But for my wine, I can say without any doubt that if I open a bottle of 2006 now, it's amazing to taste it. This is not a thing that I make every day because I have very few bottles.
just once in a while, special occasions.
Yeah, special occasion. We opened last bottle of 2006 vintage 2 years ago, and we had a very nice sensation for this wine. So I can say that considering my wine, Primitivo could be aged, but I don't know. I tasted in the past other wineries production, older than my wine, and I find a nice product. But you have also to consider that during the last century, Primitivo was not considered a noble wine. It was used to blend with other kind of grapes that come from northern Italy, for example, in Veneto to make Amarone, or in Piedmont to make Barbaresco Barolo, but also French people bought wine from Puglia to blend their wines, because they don't have alcoholic degree and they don't have richness. And so they blend with our Primitivo, but not only Primitivo, Negramaro, Nero di Troia, or Nero d'Avola that come from Sicily, Aglianico from Basilicata. This kind of grape in the past were used to make a great wine in other part of Italy or in another part of Europe. And for this reason, they were not considered as themselves great wines. Starting from this century, but also in the last part of last century, people start to produce wine made by Primitivo grapes that has a very high quality characteristics, bringing it very high in the top 10 of the best wines. We can consider Primitivo now a grape that potentially could have a long life.
Talking to Mariana is like talking.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
To a friend. I just met her during the time when I was in Italy, but man, our conversation was so good, it got a bit long. So this is part one of our interview with Mariana. Tune in next week for part two.
Thank you for listening to this Study Abroad episode of Wine School Dropout. This episode was produced by Studio Ochenta and hosted by me, Tanisha Townsend. Our executive producer is Lori Martinez. Our sound editor is Luis Raul Lopez Levi. Our theme was done by Gabrielle Dalmaso. Music is by Makai Beats. Our art is by Tiffany DeLune. Follow us at Wine School Dropout on Instagram. If you like the show, you should tell a friend about it and leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, sit back, relax, and have a glass.
Hi, it's Tanisha again. I want to tell you about a podcast called The History of Literature.
It's a show that covers everything from the life and works of literary giants like Dickens and Tolstoy, to a series on the forgotten women of literature, to lighthearted topics like Friend, Marry, Kill, Shakespeare Edition, and the top 10 books you don't need to read. Each week, host Jack Wilson and his guests explore the most unusual, compelling, and inspiring stories from the world of literature. Always eager and never pretentious, Jack tackles every book as if it could change his life. And more often than not, it does just that. The History of Literature is brought to you by The Podglomerate. New episodes run every Monday and Thursday, and you can listen today by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to this show.